First Chronicles 29, verse 5. We're thinking of the words at the end of the text. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day to the Lord? The theme has been giving to a building fund. We have given a little introduction to that theme, and we've emphasized to you two aspects of it already. That was giving personally and also giving abundantly. We're thinking of the question of how to give as a congregation when there's a building work going on. And in the Bible readings, in connection with these studies, we have highlighted three building projects. The one here, when David prepared for the building of the temple. You remember too, we emphasized last week the building of the tabernacle, the appeal that was made for the finances and the resources then. And we've read about the days of Jehoash when they repaired the house of God, and that was a major building project as well. It is especially relevant for us as a church, the part of the building work that we have been engaged in up until now for almost 4 years. That has been a repairing. There's been renovation, restoration, and repairing of this house of God. So I encourage you to read that portion again, maybe this afternoon. Meditate upon it, read with it 2 Kings 22, chapter 12 and chapter 22. They're two similar portions. But that's the work. As they did in Old Testament times, we have been engaged in that repairing of God's house as well. But there's further progress to be made, further expansion in the will of God here yet to take place. And we're thinking of that. And as the vision, the plans have been set before you, what we need to think, brethren and sisters, is the raising of the finance, the raising of the funds for that work. And that's why we've been engaged in this study. There's some other things we're going to emphasize, how to give to a building fund. I want you to notice the third aspect here is that these people gave willingly. Oh, the Lord may touch our hearts in that regard this morning. We talk about the free will offering. The free will offering has been taken this morning already. There's those FWO envelopes, free will offering envelopes. Think of the wording, free will. It comes from the scriptures. That is, they gave willingly. If you look at verse 17, it refers to David himself. In the middle of the verse, as for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. Look at verse 9. It refers to the people. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly. And notice the next words. They offered willingly to the Lord. That word willingly is a key word in the chapter. If you read down the chapter yourself, and just to emphasize, that's an important thing to do. When you go away from the meetings and you've heard a message, one good practice is to read over the portion that was preached upon, studied in the meeting. Take the time to read over it again yourself, and all the lessons, all the truths that were emphasized, they will come with freshness and power to your hearts. And if you read down this chapter, you'll see that the word willingly, it's a key word in the chapter. It's repeated over and over. The people in David's day gave willingly to this building fund. And the same was true in Exodus, whenever they were building the tabernacle. The words that are used are these. It was with a willing heart. I wonder, do we have such a heart today? We think of the work of God generally. We think of the building work in which we're engaged in the giving. As the Lord looks down, and remember, the Lord records those things. He recorded it of the people in Moses' day, and he's recording the state of our heart this morning. It says that they gave with willing heart. Is that the sort of heart the Lord sees in our congregation today? Remember what Paul wrote in the New Testament. He used the words willing to communicate. Sometimes we're mistaken. The meaning of words has changed in some regards since the days the Authorized Version was translated. We use the word communicate generally to do with speech, writing, and so forth. But the word communicate is also used in the New Testament with regard to giving. And that is the context in which it is used there. Keep that in mind. As you read the New Testament, they were willing to communicate. And remember that giving is a means of communicating. In many ways, it's a charitable way of communicating. You just don't communicate with your mouth. You communicate with people. You speak to them through your deeds, through your generosity. But they were willing. That's what I want to emphasize. The New Testament church and their giving, they were willing to give to God's work. And that, brethren and sisters, is what the Lord is looking for in our Mafre church today as well. He's looking for a willing offering for the building work of this church. We're not to give reluctantly. We're not to give against our will. We're not to give with one hand and yet hold it back with the other. These people weren't forced, brethren and sisters. It wasn't a case that they were pushed or pressurized. The money wasn't squeezed out of God's people back in the days of David. Isn't it true? Sometimes that's the case. The minister, the elder, the treasurer has to squeeze the money out of the people. And how sad that is, brethren and sisters. It didn't happen in David's day, Moses, Paul's day, and yet so often it does happen in our day. If you think of the question this morning, if we were to ask, how do you give willingly? How do you give with a willing heart? What is the answer? What is the secret? Well, let me tell you what the secret is. You get your eyes on the Lord. Do you remember what it said in the book of Exodus? The appeal that was made whenever they went to build the tabernacle, the appeal that went out to the people, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. And that little word me makes all the difference. The Lord said, they bring me an offering. And as we make an appeal to this congregation, brethren and sisters, for the work that is yet to be done, I do want you to give for me. I do want you to give for the denomination, for the free church. I do want you to give for the committee. What I want you to do is this. I want you to give for the Lord. Remember, it's His cause. It's His work. It's His house that we're involved in building. And when you get your eyes upon the Lord, when you get that truth firmly fixed in your heart, then you'll have no difficulty whatsoever parting with the money for the work that has to be done. Here's what the Lord says to you today. Bring me an offering. In 2 Corinthians 8, Paul deals with the subject of giving. He deals with it at great length. But you know what Paul does when he's dealing with the subject of giving? He brings them to Christ. Remember what he said in that chapter. Talking about the Savior, he said, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. It's not a great statement to make. It's a great gospel statement. But remember the context in which those words are written is he's urging the people to give to the work of God. Get your eyes on Christ today. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes, for your sakes, he became poor. And the message, men and women, that Paul is setting before the Corinthian believers and setting before us as well as this, when you think of what he gave for you, think of that today. And the reality is, there's no better Sunday to think about it than on this Easter Sunday. Get your eyes on the cross today, the sufferings of the Savior. And when you think of what he gave for you, then you'll have a willing heart. You will have absolutely no difficulty in giving, giving of yourself, giving of your time, giving of your efforts, giving of your talents, giving of your money to the work of God. The Savior would say to you this morning, brethren and sisters, as we think of his death on this Easter Sunday, and a little while we'll gather round the table to think of it too, the Savior will say, my all I give for thee. Just take that in. That's what those words really mean. Though he was rich, but for our sakes he became poor. He's saying, my all I give for thee. What hast thou given for me? Frances Ridley Havergal, the hymn writer, she was in Germany on one occasion with her father. Her dad had an eye problem. They went over there to get some treatment. They were staying in the home of a pastor that they knew. She was waiting on dinner one evening in the front room, and she saw a picture hang on the wall. She went over to look at it a little closer. It was a picture of the crucifixion. And under the picture were the words, all this I did for thee, what hast thou done for me? And that touched her heart. That really spoke to her. She penned one of her most famous hymns, I gave my life for thee, as a result of that experience, those circumstances. Do you know, whenever she wrote that hymn the first time in the home of that German pastor, she didn't think the words were good enough, and she scrunched up the piece of paper and threw it into the fire. And in the providence of God, the page fell out of the fire unharmed, untouched. So she decided to keep it. And a little later, she showed it to her dad, and he thought it was tremendous, and he encouraged her to have it published. But I want you to think about that. Think of the crucifixion. Think of the depths of the Savior's love. All this I did for thee. What hast thou done for me? Did you notice when we were reading in 2 Kings chapter 12, they took a chest? That was like the building fund box. The priest, Jehoiada, he took the chest and they set it at the door, the entrance of the house of God, and they bored a hole in the top of it, just like a money box. But it was for the building fund. And the people coming in and out, they put their money into that chest. But did you notice what it said? They set the chest before the altar. It's not very significant, the placing of that chest before the altar. As the people were giving, that their attention, their thoughts was focused upon the sacrifice, the blood shedding. And as they pondered that, as they pondered the love of God, the great sacrifice of Christ for their sins. And remember, all those Old Testament sacrifices spoke and pointed to the Savior. They set it before the altar. And in the light of the altar, in the light of the sacrifice, in the light of the cross, that was the motive, the motivation for those people to give as willingly as they did to the work of God. So give willingly, brethren and sisters. I want you to think as well, another aspect that's mentioned here is they gave immediately. If you look at our text, verse 5, who then is willing to consecrate his service? And notice the words, this day. To the Lord. I pray the Lord might emphasize that. He might burn that into your heart. Willing to consecrate a service this day unto the Lord. Not tomorrow. There is no guarantee of tomorrow. Not next year. Not when you're old. Not when you're dying. And not when you're dead. The Lord says, give immediately. Give now. To the work of God. Let me just emphasize that part, give when you're dead. Many people leave their money to God's work and their will, and that's a good thing. God's work has benefited from many such legacies that have been given. But remember this, brethren and sisters, it's easy to give to God when you no longer need it. It's easy to give to God when your life is over, and you have no longer any use yourself for that money or for that finance. Keep in mind, there is no promise in the Bible of blessing for a person that gives their substance to God after their life has ended. On one occasion, there was a man of substance. He was a servant of God, and he was a wee bit grieved. He asked the question, why is everybody always criticizing me for being miserly? Whenever they know that I have made provision to give everything to God's work in my will when I die. He said that to a servant of the Lord on one occasion. Well, the reply that he got was this, a wee bit unusual maybe. He said, let me tell you the story about the pig and the cow. Said the pig to the cow, everybody likes you, yet you give only milk and cream. Well, I give much more. I give bacon and ham. I give bristles, and they even pickle my feet. But still, nobody likes me. Why is this? The answer is, the cow thought for a minute and then said, well, maybe it's because I give while I am still living. It's an interesting little story, isn't it? But that is true as far as the pig and the cow is concerned. All that it gives, the pig, it gives after it is dead. But the cow gives the milk and the cream while it is still living. And I want to emphasize that to you today, brethren and sisters. The need is to give now to God's work. Willing this day to consecrate your service. And the service there, remember, is giving. You ask why? Why immediately? Well, remember that now is when the need is. Now is when the finance is needed. Not next year, not 20 years from now. When David was building the temple, they needed the money and the materials right away. And that's why he urged the people to give this day unto the Lord. When the need is, that's when you should give. Let me say to you, brethren and sisters, as far as our own building work, it has been a great thing. No debt thus far. I've said to you before, I'll emphasize it again, it would be nice if we could finish it all. All the work out the back, the walls, the hall, every part of it, without any debt. And you know, in many ways, there's no reason why that could not be. If we're willing to give now, immediately, the money that is required. The best way to do this job, the best way to finish this building project, is for the money to come in right now, brethren and sisters. That would save us from debt. That would save us from borrowing with the banks. We would not have to wait for years. Some churches have done it that way. Wait for years while they build up the cash, several hundred thousands of pounds, before they actually begin or commence the work. That takes a lot of time. It's a nice position to be in whenever you start, but it can take time if you want to do it in that way. But the idea is to press on with the work at this stage, to put those facilities up at the nearest possible opportunity. The need is now, and that's why I urge you to give now, give immediately, give this day to the work. And remember too, you're not sure of the future. Look at that 15th verse. He says, we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. Isn't it good to consider that? It'd be good to consider that any Sabbath day. There is none abiding. If you're here without Christ, you need to consider that carefully. There's none of us going to be here forever. You might live as if you are. The necessity for you is to prepare. We're going to think next Sunday night about getting ready to meet God. Well, you dare not even wait till next Sunday night. to get right with God. There's no guarantee that you'll still be here. You'll still be alive when next Sunday night comes around. There's none abiding. David's writing that in the whole context of this chapter of the building project. And what he's saying to the people is, you'll not get another opportunity to be involved in such a project. You may not get another chance. There may never be for you another occasion to help with such a great building project in the work of God. So he says, I urge you, give now. And that's what I want to encourage you to do, brethren and sisters. Give now. Give with specific gifts for the building project, and give through the free will offering. Consider even an increase in the giving to God's work through that free will offering scheme. Think of this one too. We've thought of today, they gave willingly, gave immediately. Think of giving joyfully. Verse 9 says, then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly. Is that the way you give? These people rejoiced as they gave. They were glad. They were happy. In fact, that word rejoice is going beyond being happy. It's happiness that is being displayed and expressed. And they expressed their happiness at being able to give to God. Is that the sort of attitude you displayed when the offering plate was passed around this morning? You were rejoicing at another opportunity to have a part in the furtherance of God's work. Who is the happiest, brethren and sisters? The person that's tight-fisted or the person that gives? The reality, there's nobody more miserable than the miser. Not right? I remember reading in the Guinness Book of Records, there's even a record for the greatest miser. Person in the United States, they wouldn't put hot water on their porridge in the morning, wouldn't spend the money to warm the water. They had a child that took ill, and they wouldn't spend the money. Remember, in the States, you have to pay for medical care. Wouldn't pay for the medical care, and the child died. And when this person died, their estate was worth more than $16 million at the time. A miserable existence. Nobody more miserable than the miser. Can I ask you this morning to think, why can you be happy as you give to God? Well, God blesses giving. Paul said to the church at Ephesus, more blessed to give than to receive. That has been described as a new beatitude. More blessed to give than to receive. Think of what he's saying. There's a greater blessing on the giver than on the receiver. Do you want a path that will bring more blessing upon your life? A path that will bring more blessing upon your home? A path that will bring more blessing upon this church? And remember, brethren and sisters, that giving is linked with revival. In the book of Malachi, bring all the tithes in. The Lord says, and prove me if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God says, if we bring in our tithes, if we give to him, then in return, he'll give to us. Do you want a path that will bring the fullness of God's blessing upon this church? It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And the New Testament says, the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. I remember Dr. Paisley emphasizing the meaning behind that word, cheerful. It's hilarious. It's where we get our English word hilarious. The joy, the exuberance, the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. The smile of heaven is upon the person that gives in such a way to God. So here's how, brethren and sisters, to give to a building fund. Some of the truths. When you read and study the chapter yourself, you'll maybe find others. Will you give personally, brethren and sisters? Can I put the challenge out? David said, of mine own. Will you give of what is your own? Will you give abundantly? We told you that story of the lady in Dallas, man or woman, young or old. Will you give abundantly? The New Testament, they gave beyond their power. They gave beyond what they could afford to give. Will you give willingly? So the Lord looks down, will he see a willing heart? Is that the sort of heart that you have? Remember, the Lord will be looking at the response you give to the message that is brought, the truths that have been set out. Give willingly. But will you give, brethren and sisters, immediately, that the work can go on, the work can be progressed, furthered, and let us together give joyfully, that God has given us a part, that he has given us an opportunity to do something for him, in the light of all that he has done for us, that we will give in a joyful way to his work. I'll finish with this story. There was a pastor once. The church was involved in a building project. And he said to his congregation one Sunday, we have good news and we have bad news. The good news is we have all the money that we need to carry out the building project that is planned. The bad news is that money is still in your pocket, still in your handbag, still in your wallet. And I can tell you this morning, brethren and sisters, we have good news and we have bad news. The good news is we have all the money we need to build the church hall in the back car park. The bad news is that money is still in your wallet, your handbag, in your bank account. I pray the Lord will speak to your hearts today. I don't want the work to be hindered. I don't want the work to be held back. I want to see the work progressed. God has blessed us this far. And one of the reasons God has blessed us is your giving, your generosity. But we don't want that work to be hindered, brethren and sisters, anymore because of a lack of funds. And I pray, it has taken us 3 weeks, you know that, 3 Sundays, to get this far. I see that has been very significant, that it took even to Easter Sunday, the fact that we were able to emphasize those truths about the cross and the altar and the sacrifice and so on in connection with our giving. God in his providence has overruled. But I want to say just before I close what has been a mini-series on giving, I want you to see just how significant, how important this matter is as far as the furtherance of this work is concerned. The work needs money. I know that many of you have been encouraged. I know that from what you've said. You've been encouraged by the work that has been done, how well this church is looking. You've been encouraged by what has been taking place outside already. And we rejoice in that. You have been encouraged too by the plans that we were able to show to you a few weeks ago of what is envisaged, what is planned for days to come. What an asset those facilities would be to us as a congregation. The only disappointment that we had of showing those plans to you is that they're still just plans, that they're not yet a reality. But I want to emphasize, and that is why in some ways we haven't rushed through the series or through these truths. The reality, brethren and sisters, is what will make the difference between that being just on a plan and coming a reality is how willing we are to give, how willing we are to contribute towards that work. It probably will take, and this is probably quite conservative, it'll take £500,000 to do what has to be done, the building of that hall and those walls the retaining walls, and there's a bit of tarmac to go down, and I told you about the bit we'd like to do down here and all the rest. It'll take at least $500,000, maybe more. I set that out to give you some idea of where we are, where we're aiming, what needs to be done. But I ask you, brethren and sisters, earnestly today, take these truths upon your heart. We want to see the work progressed, and you can have a part. You can have a major part. You may not be a speaker, a singer, any of those things, but here's a part that you can play. And I ask you just to take that text upon your heart this morning. Who then is willing? It's an appeal that David makes. He's setting out the need. He's telling them about the work. He sets out the plan, just as we have done. We're in exactly the same position that David was in way back those many years ago. And he puts out the challenge to the people, as I sought so feebly to do these Sabbath mornings. But he puts out the challenge, who then? In the light of all I'm telling you, all we've planned, all that's envisaged, all we're going to do, who's willing? Who in Armagh Free Church today is willing to consecrate his service? The words consecrate, fill the hands. There's a work to be done. You can fill your hands in that work. But remember, it's filling our hands and our giving too. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day? What a blessing that would be to press on with that work, to encourage us in it, brethren and sisters, that when the door opens and the plans are passed, we could move on without any hindrance from the financial side to bringing these things into being. I pray the Lord will write the words in your heart and emphasize, just as I finish those final words, it's on to the Lord. We need to see that. That's what will stir us and motivate us more than anything else. It's not onto the Free Church. It's not onto Armagh Free Church. It's onto the Lord. Are you willing to consecrate your service this day onto Him, the one that loved you and died for you, the one whose cause we will seek to maintain with God's help for days to come, and we pray will be maintained in this place until Jesus comes again. We're building, brethren and sisters, not for ourselves. We're building for our children, and we're building for our grandchildren, for generations to come, that we will be able, with God's help, to hand on the baton and hand on the torch to them, that they will carry this work on until Jesus comes in a greater way. As somebody prayed that day of prayer, and it stirred my heart to hear it, that the greatest days of this church is yet to come. Greater days than it is known. This church has known some great days. You people talk about the building being full to the door. When people came in on a Sunday morning, and all these seats, and there was more of them before these pews were put in, all of these seats were taken. What days those were. Maybe, as it has often been, you didn't realize the days you had when you were passing through them. Days of revival. That God would give us greater days in this place. I would long for that too. One of the longings of my heart is to live to see revival. If it be God's will, He'd let us see it here. Greater days yet ahead, brethren and sisters. We're doing it unto the Lord. And may He help us to do our part and to do our all in that regard. 4